As always, appreciate that good prayer. If you have your Bibles with me this morning and want to turn, I'll be in Joshua chapter 1 this morning, and I want to speak on a subject that I believe is very real and very relevant to all of us as God's people today, and that's the subject of fear. I'm thankful. I think we all understand what God's Word says as far as fear goes, but I'm thankful that we have constant reminders as God's people that we, although fear is real, we don't approach fear like the rest of the world, or we should not approach fear like the rest of the world. And as I was thinking along these lines here a couple of weeks ago, somebody had sent it on social media or whatever, but they were talking about the subject of fear and how it works in our society. They sent this list that goes back 20 years. It says in 1999 and 2000, and we were fearful that Y2K was going to kill us all. And then in 2001, it was going to be anthrax that was going to kill us all. 2002, it was the West Nile virus. 2003, it was SARS. 2005, it was the bird flu. 2006, it was E. coli that was going to kill us all. And then in 2008, it was the bad economy that was going to kill us all. And it goes on. 2009, the swine flu. 2014, Ebola was going to kill us all. 2016, it was the Zika virus. And 2019, measles were going to kill us all. And now in 2020, the coronavirus is going to kill us all. What the point of that little, I guess, humorous retrospect is that there is always the constant threat of fear in our lives. And we don't want to discount the difficulties and trials and issues and potential disasters that will come in life, but I think we have to understand that as God's people, first of all, we're not to let the fear govern our actions, to govern our responses, and we need to understand that God is on His throne. So right now, I guess it may be in my mind, you're hearing everything about the coronavirus. We want to be vigilant. We want to be wise in the decisions that we make. We want to wash our hands. Another funny thing, as far as being fearful, a teacher friend of mine sent a little message last week. It says, next week we're suffering the change of time. We sprung ahead, and I wonder if somebody's going to come in here in just a little bit that didn't set their clocks. We're facing a full moon. We're facing a Friday the 13th, and everybody be careful and wash your hands. The bottom line is there's much that we can be fearful about. And, you know, it's not just a 2000s phenomena that we have these things to fear about. We live in a world that can be fearful. You know, we sing the hymn Amazing Grace. We oftentimes hang our hats, and rightfully so, on the early verses of Amazing Grace when it speaks about the grace of God that saved a wretch like me. But even in John Newton's time, part of that hymn speaks about fears. The hymn says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.' Then the writer says, 'Through many dangerous toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.' As God's people, we need to face fear with the right perspective. The wrong perspective is just to constantly focus on the fears to the point that we start responding out of emotion, we start responding out of panic. I think it's equally as wrong to think, well, I can conquer all of my fears in life. The world will say that. The world will either say it's a hopeless situation and just succumb to the fears. Another element of society will say, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and overcome the fears in your life. Well, the reality is we don't have the capability to navigate and overcome in a right way all of the fears that we have in our lives. Have you figured that out yet? I've discovered that the older I get, the truer that rings. You know, as a young person, I really didn't fear a lot of things. You know, as a child, you have fears of monsters under the bed and that sort of stuff. And, you know, as you get younger, you get in your teens and you get in your 20s. And those are oftentimes called the fearless years. Nothing scares or nothing intimidates you. Well, the older you get, the more you see the world around you. When you start living out your life, there's things that become fearful to you. There's things now that, you know, being married over 20-something years are more fearful to me now. If you're not fearful then, you start having children and, the fears start to increase. You know, as you have children, then they become teenagers. I'll tell you one thing that surprised me a few years ago that really caught me by surprise. One of the most fearful things I had as a parent was when my first licensed driver pulled away from the house on his own. You talk about fear. That one caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. Then you think, well, when you get them all grown up, then there's nothing else to fear about. No, as they go and have their own lives and go through their own difficulties and their own challenges, there's fear that comes along with that. And then there's fears you get physically older, fear of sickness and disease, fear as you lose loved ones in your life. Fear is real. But I'm thankful to go back to John Newton. I'm thankful for the truth that's in that hymn that I believe is truth that's gleaned from God's Word, that through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. That's the perspective we're to have as God's people. Not irrational fear, not allowing fear to govern our emotions and govern our decisions, but also not be thinking that we're so self-sufficient that we can navigate through all of it on our own. The bottom line is God's grace is what carries us through the extreme difficulties of life. And that's where we get to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to see a people that were in great fear. And when you think about the situation that they were facing from the human perspective, they were very right to be fearful. But we're going to see the wonderful grace of God in the midst of fear. Joshua chapter 1, we'll read starting at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 9 this morning. It says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." Verse 5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." In verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7 repeats, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Finally, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." That is the word of God, and that is a wonderful promise for us as God's people today that have legitimate and real fears. One of the results of fear oftentimes is that it really paralyzes and cripples people as far as making decisions in their lives, as far as going forward, as far as doing the right thing. Natural responses to fear are often emotional, and emotional responses often cause more difficulty than the trials themselves. But here we see here in the example that God gives us in His Word, here giving it to Joshua, giving it to the children of Israel, we see that there is a wonderful example of how we're to go forward in strength, we're to go forward in courage, and we're to go forward in fear not, and that going forward involves trusting in God that has delivered us. Now, this is an interesting time in the history of Israel, and Joshua chapter 1, it doesn't start out painting a rosy picture. Because what we see has happened in the nation of Israel prior to this writing. Well, first of all, it starts out by saying that Moses is dead. Can you imagine that? Moses, one of the most revered character of the Jews. He was the one that God blessed in just an incredible way. He was the one that God spoke to from the burning bush. He was the one that God spoke to and gave the Ten Commandments and gave the laws of God. He was the one that God spoke to give them all of their guidance as far as how they were to worship God, where they were to worship God, where they were to go as they were wandering out in the wilderness. This was the same Moses that led them as they crossed the Red Sea and God blessed and delivered in an incredible way. This was the Moses that was an intercessor for the people as they were disobedient and stiff-necked. You know, he was the leader of leaders for Israel. But he was just a man, and now he was dead. Can you imagine? Sarah and I were watching a movie the other night, and part of it was taking place in the 60s when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and it did a good job of just showing the emotional response that individuals had when they got that news. Well, this was similar news to the nation of Israel. Moses was dead. And think about this as well. Moses was the one that led them through the wilderness. And Moses was the one, if we remember from our Bible reading, Moses was the one that was not going to go into the promised land. He got to see the promised land before he died, but now he was dead and buried. And here these people are on the brink of taking the inheritance that God has given them. This is the same people that some 40 years prior were getting ready to go into the promised land, and they sent out spies into the land, and yes, it was indeed the land that God had promised, but it was the land with giants, the land with challenges, the land with difficulties, and now here's their second time getting ready to go into the land. Can you see where this was a perilous time in the lives of the children of Israel? You know what? Those difficulties and those obstacles, they were still in that promised land. Those that they were concerned about being giants some 40 years prior, well, those giants had babies and had kids. They were still there. So do you see? This is the picture for us as God's people. They are on the brink of taking the inheritance that God has given them, and they are fearful. Well, how do we know that they were fearful? Because we see three times here, it's mentioned for them to be strong and of a good courage. I want you to tell you, if that doesn't chronicle our Christian walk today, I don't know what does. There is a lot to be fearful about. In 2000, we were fearful about Y2K. We're fearful about the coronavirus now. We were fearful about other things that came previously. And I'll tell you what, once this is all passed and gone, something else will come along and we will be fearful about. We live in a society that profits off of propagating fear, for one thing. But all of that aside, fear is real. We're going to suffer physical afflictions. It's going to make us scared. Now, our children are going to make decisions that are going to make us nervous as we turn them loose. There's going to be fear involved in that. Fear is a constant in this world because sin is a constant in this world that we live in. If you don't know where fear comes from, it comes from sin. You know, the coronavirus may have originated somewhere in the depths of China, but it's here because of sin. The fear that we have is because of the flesh that we carry about. But I want to tell you this morning, as God's people, God is with us. And I'm thankful that as God's people, as we go out and serve Him, He is on His throne. And the message for us this morning is to be strong. He says, you know, and there's wonderful promises here. Verse 6, he says to Joshua and he says to Israel, be strong and of a good courage. He says, for unto this people, he says, shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. This says to the children of Israel, it says that God has made some promises to you. You're to be strong and be of good courage because of the promises that God has given us. You know, our inheritance today isn't some natural piece of land, but don't we have the promises of God that we hold dear to as the Lord's people today? I hope that you do. I believe that you're here this morning because you trust in the promises of God. What he was saying here is that the promises of God, the promises of God will overcome any difficulties, any adversities that you have in this life. Then he says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. He has to remind them, and we need to be reminded as the Lord's people today, to be strong and very courageous. And then not only does he mention for them to remember the promises of the Lord, but in verse 7, I believe he's referring to the commandments of God. You know, oftentimes I'm fearful because my perspective is skewed from God's word. That's why it's critical for us as God's people to read and study God's Word, to sit under the preaching of God's Word, to be students of Scripture. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I tell you, boldness comes from an understanding of God's Word. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, our courage, our strength, I believe, is directly proportional to what we understand about the nature of God. You know, when we truly understand that God is sovereign, God is on His throne, and God is in control, that affects our attitudes and our actions, doesn't it? Here's one of the emotional responses that we'll have to fear. When we're fearful, we want to try to do everything that we can to control and manipulate the situation and try to alleviate the fear that way. Have we ever gotten rid of fear by being controlling and manipulative, trying to do it our own way? No, we usually mess it up and make matters worse, but we understand that God is in control. We're not just to be those that articulate that God is sovereign and God is on His throne and God knows that we stand what we stand in need of. We need to be living it out in our lives. And then in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? And then he adds this, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Well, why is that? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that wonder? That speaks of the omnipresence of God. That simply means that God is always with us. If it's not enough for us to understand that God has promised us blessings, God has promised to give us strength, that God has promised to lead us as we go forward and serve Him. And if it's not enough to understand that God's Word reminds us that He's the sovereign King of kings and ruler over all. Now, the Lord says to Joshua and says it to His people, the children of Israel, He says that the Lord God, thy God, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In the darkest hours of life, God is there with us. You know, even when we don't realize it, God, He never leaves us or forsakes us. Isn't that a wonderful promise to think about? That, as promises that we enjoy today, should help us as we navigate the fear of our lives. These people were fearful. But fear wasn't just limited to the children of Israel. It has caused chaos. It has caused trouble. It has caused trials ever since sin and death came into this world. And he says, fear not. God was going to provide for the children of Israel. And how did God make provision? Well, as I said earlier, one way, their leader had died. Moses was now dead. But what you see in Joshua is God raises up another individual to lead them, to guide them. God blesses Joshua with what he needs to help these people navigate into the promised land. But I want to ask you this question. Was Joshua perfect? Did Joshua have something about him that made him superior to Moses? And I want to ask this question as well. Did the children of Israel fully obey God and embrace and claim this truth and go into the promised land and obey God fully because of this promise, because of this truth? No. If you're trying to read through the Bible right now, you're perhaps in the area where you're reading about God's laws and God's commandments to Israel and what they were to do when they get into the promised land. You know, as you read through the book of Numbers and you go into the book of Deuteronomy, you have God really laying out what they were supposed to do when they inherit this land. Well, we see some bright spots as they go and conquer this land in the book of Joshua. But I want to say ultimately, they allowed their fears to cause them to compromise God's word. Because they did not fully inherit the land that God had promised them because they did not fully obey God. They made compromises all along the way. You know, Joshua was a man just like we are. But I'm thankful for us as God's people today. Again, we may look at Israel and we'll say, well, shame on them for not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, do we enjoy the full inheritance of God's promises in our lives because we fully trust in Him and we fully embrace the teachings of Scripture? Or do we enjoy the fullness of our blessings as God's people today? We do not. But I want you to understand, as God's people, you know, we see Joshua, and as you go through the book of Joshua, we'll see that God blesses him. We see that he is one that leads the children of Israel, and God's hand is upon him. But I want you to understand, for us as God's people today, we have one that's greater than Joshua. And that's the one I want us to look at for a few minutes this morning. When we think about the fears that we go through, here's the reality of it. We're not going to get it right as God's people. We are going to even in spite of our best efforts, we're going to mess up. Even in spite of an understanding of God's word, we still have this flesh, and we're still going to be fighting this tendency to react out of fear instead of moving forward by faith. But I want you to understand, one of the wonderful blessings as we look forward from the book of Joshua is that this pointed to the one that was going to come and going to conquer all of our fears, going to conquer all of our sin debt. And that's Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you can look at Joshua as a leader and as a captain, if you will, just as Moses was, but they were just men. But I want to tell you, this points to the one that was going to come, that was going to make all things right that we couldn't make right. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in these promises here that we see to Israel, we enjoy these promises in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we enjoy great blessings because of what He did for us. And again, that promise that was given to Joshua, I think, is one that's more sure for us as God's people today. Again, have I not commanded you, he says in verse 9, be strong and be courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua was the man appointed to lead Israel into the promised land. But aren't you thankful that the one that leads us as God's people today is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? You know, isn't that a wonderful blessing? He is the one that is the captain of our salvation. He is the one that comforts us. He's the one that has gone before us. And we can go forward and strive to fear not and be not dismayed. You know, Joshua was in a sense a deliverer of the children of Israel into the promised land, but he was not a perfect deliverer. One of the things that we can go forward in strength and in hope with this morning is that the perfect deliverer has come. And that's what we need to understand. I think that gives us a proper perspective of fear. Yes, fear is real. Yes, the difficulties and the trials that we see on a global basis in our individual lives, in our families, in our communities, those things that we're fearful of as a church are real. But what a wonderful blessing we have, one that's more faithful than Moses, one that's more faithful than Joshua, and he is the one that has paid our sin debt, and we can go boldly forward because of what he's done. And I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world, I'm thankful that he transformed darkness into hope. He transformed a hopeless situation and a fearful situation to one that now we, because of what he's done, we can have faith, we can have confidence, and the boldness and the strength that we go in, it's even better than what Israel was commanded to go into in the Old Testament times. We're to fear not. Now it's interesting when you think about the Word of God speaks a lot about fear. And we understand again that fear is a reality, but the Bible speaks a whole lot about us fearing not. I think it's over 360 times the Word of God says, fear not, fear not, fear not. And our Savior would use the terminology, fear not, many times. Well, why is that? Well, because he was the one that was going to conquer fear. We can't conquer fear on our own, and we still have this flesh where fear still affects our lives, but we can say of a surety, he conquered fear. And what a blessing that is. And I think that's where we have to look to in the times of our difficulty and in the times of our adversity. And, you know, Joshua in a lot of ways is a picture of Jesus Christ and points to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, again, is the one that's the perfect example of conquering fears. I want us to go. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 28 for just a few minutes this morning. Because this is, you know, we saw in multiple times in Joshua chapter 1, for them to be strong, for them to be courageous. We see in verse 9 where they were not to be fearful. Well, in Matthew chapter 28, we have a situation from a human perspective where it seemed a hopeless situation. If you thought Joshua chapter 1 was bad, where it starts out, Moses, my servant, is dead. In Matthew chapter 28, disciples started out in that time period thinking, Jesus Christ, my Lord, is dead. They were without hope, and they were extremely fearful because of everything that had transpired the days before what we're going to see in Matthew chapter 28. Well, what had transpired during that time? Well, most of us know Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. And based off of the actions that we see from his disciples, from that point on, they were extremely fearful. And I believe that the questions that ran through their mind was, well, what do we do now? Our Lord is gone. The one who had come and said that he was going to deliver us. The one who said that he was never going to leave us or forsake us. The one that spoke peace. The one that spoke of deliverance. The one that spoke of the comforter coming after him. He's now gone. Can you imagine being in that situation? And they were living it out in the here and now. And what we see is they were fearful. Would you have been fearful during that time? Yeah, you would have. They had lost sight of their deliverer. They had lost sight of their redeemer, and they were fearful. But what is the wonderful promise of Matthew chapter 28? They had no need to fear because their Savior lived. And we see that. You go to Matthew chapter 28. You see, you can read through that chapter on your own, but you see the theme of Matthew chapter 28 was fear not. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5, as that angel was there by the tomb, He had left that grave. He had rose from the grave. And, you know, the wonderful message of that angel that was there to those that were afraid, they thought somebody's taken his body. They've taken the body of the one that we followed and the one that we loved. And there was great fear and trepidation because of that. In verse 5, the angel said to the women that were there, the women were fearful. Now, do you women get fearful in life? Oh, well, we all do, but yes. But these women, and let me say this, these women were the most faithful followers of Jesus. They were the ones that were there when the men had all scattered. Well, the angel said to these women who were fearful, he says, "Fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified." Well, how can we fear not? Verse 6, "For he is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Why were they called not to be fearful? Because the one that they thought was dead, the one that they thought was defeated, the one that they thought was gone, had rose from the dead. What a wonderful blessing that is. Well, it goes on. Jesus, he'd risen from the dead, and now these women, they were going to go to the disciples, and they were to say the same thing. The women were to say the same thing to the disciples that the angel said to them. Verse 10 said, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." So Jesus says then, "You tell my disciples, be not afraid." Not only now do we have it verbalized that he is risen from the grave, now we have him actually rise. He's risen from the grave. He's interacting with them. He's speaking to them. And the message he says is for them to not fear. And then amazingly, as we end Matthew chapter 28, the message is the same as well. As he's speaking to his disciples, and he's instructing them what they're to do after he ascends up to the Father, he tells them that they're to go and teach all the nations, and they're to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and go forward, and he says, and teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. What does he say to them? He implies this. He says, fear not, because, well, he doesn't say fear not, but the implication is that they're to go and do this boldly, because he says at the end of chapter 30 or verse 30, he says, "For I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Fear not, fear not. You ever get the point in your Christian walk where you feel like the Lord is just clean gone? I tell you, that's practically speaking when we get to the place where we're paralyzed by fear, or we're responding out of fear. You know, be it just in us getting ramped up, or it's coming out in how we treat other people, how we treat our spouses, how we treat folks at work, how we treat our children. It's born out of forgetting that our Lord has risen, our Lord is on his throne, and our Lord is with us. He says here, you're going to go forward and you're going to teach all nations. That's a pretty tall order for a bunch of fishermen that had just forsaken the Lord. Lord, we failed. We failed you. Our faith is weak, and we forsook you while you were being crucified, and we walked away from you. We have our doubts. We have our fears. He says, "No, you go forward. You do what I've commanded you to do, and I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Fear not." They were frightened and dismayed. Israel in the time of Joshua were frightened and dismayed. And I want to tell you, Brother Michael, in this world today, many times becomes frightened and dismayed. But aren't you thankful that the promises of fear not ring true today? Not, you know, fear not doesn't come from me being able to conquer my fears on my own. Fear not doesn't mean that I have the tools, I have the abilities, but by the grace of God and the Spirit of God that dwells within us, and the promises of God, and the promise that God is always with us, we can go forward boldly. Don't be paralyzed by the fear in this life. We need to remember, as God's people, we have one that accompanies us that's far greater than anything that can threaten us. You know, again, going back to my situation when Elisha drove off from home to go to work by himself the first time, and that fear started to grip me. I'm thankful that very quickly after that, God reminded me that He's stronger than anything that may be out there. He knows what we stand in need of, and though I'm afraid, He is not afraid. And here it is. There are still giants in the land. God has promised to bless us as we go out and practically speaking, inherit the land today. What does that mean? Go out and live our lives in honor of God. Live our lives as a testimony to God in a strange land. Well, there's still giants in the land today. They're not physically imposing 9-foot-tall giants or what have you, but you know, we have the giants of the threat of sickness, the giants of the threat of someone harming us, the giants of fear of failure, the giants of the fear of what's going to happen with my children, what's going to happen with my grandchildren. I'm thankful that God is greater than any of those fears. I'm thankful. Here's a promise as well. I'm thankful that He's already defeated all of those enemies. You know, we live in a present time where oftentimes it seems like the battles before us are impossible. Well, He's already defeated all of our enemies. Well, when did that happen? It happened on the cross. Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave. You talk about the most fearful thing. The most fearful thing for us as people is death. We fear it. We fear our lives ending in this world. As far as the flesh goes, this flesh desires preeminence. This flesh likes to have the forefront, and the most fearful thing to this flesh is death and losing that. Well, Jesus Christ, He conquered death. You know, there's the fear of hell. There's many people that try to strong arm individuals into serving God by holding the fear of hell over their heads. By holding fear over the heads of God's people and try to sell them fire insurance and all of that. There's that fear. Well, He's conquered that as well. He's conquered hell. And He's conquered the grave as well. You know, the older I get, the more claustrophobic I get. I used to make fun of Brother David of being claustrophobic. I remember being with him probably 30 years ago, and we got cooped up in some little vehicle, and he about couldn't take it, and he talked about how it got worse and worse. I understand how the older I get, I don't want to be hemmed up. I had a meeting the other day in an office that's a little bit bigger than a closet, and I got in the corner, and more people started piling in there, and it started getting more and more claustrophobic, and I got anxious in that situation. Well, I, when I think about the grave, I just think about that. That's a scary proposition. in olden times, people were so scared of it, they had a contraption that just in case you aren't really dead, you could ring a bell and, you know, let me out of here. Well, Jesus Christ conquered that as well. We can chuckle about that a little bit, but understand, it's real. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. We don't have to fear death in this world, and that's really the ultimate end in this world is death. We don't have to fear it. Hell is the most fearful destination that we can think of when we leave this world. He's conquered that. Heaven is our home because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I may mess it up, and I have the potential to just royally mess it up in this life. I have the potential just to turn my life upside down because of poor decisions that I make, but I'm thankful Jesus Christ has conquered hell. And I'm thankful to know that those that He died for on Calvary's cross, they may mess up in this world, but heaven is their home. And the grave, I am thankful to know that the grave is not the end. You know, this time that we have on this earth is just, the Bible calls it just a vapor. We're just here a little while, and what a comfort to know that the grave is not the end for the child of God. So that's one of the greatest comforts that I can think of, no matter how frightening, no matter how dismaying this world may be. Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, He is with us. He is with us always. He's with us until the end. And He's going to be with us in heaven. We'll be in His presence forevermore. That's far greater than any calamity in this world, isn't it? That's a lot better hope than the hope that men can give you. At the very best, we can just give maybes in this world as men. But that's the sure truth of God's word. Well, what do we do with that? What do we do with our fears in light of those truths? Well, we're to, as we have fears and we're have to difficulty, I guess a good way to put it is what we're not to do as God's people is not to allow fears to govern the decisions that we make. I want to tell you, we live in a time where there are many media outlets and there are many organizations in this world that really hope that you govern your life by fear. You know, you think of just the mainstream media outlets of today and even fringe media outlets today. They hope that you allow fear to govern what you allow into your homes, into your hearts, and into your minds. That fear sells. You know, economically speaking, there are whole industries that are based off of making people scared. There are whole religious institutions that are banking on you're going to be fearful and you're going to try, you want to do something about it yourself. There's just industries, wherever it is, you name it, there's people that are trying to profit off of fear. Why is that? Because in the flesh, we want to react based off of fear. Many of the disagreements, many of the conflicts that we have in life, I'm convinced they're because people are responding and reacting out of fear and instead of faith. When we're ugly to each other, oftentimes it's based out of a fear, be it a rational fear or an irrational fear. Well, in that, we see that God has said that we are not to fear. We are not to fear as his people. Be not afraid. You know, I like what Jesus said. It's one of my favorite verses, and I quote it many times. But in John chapter 16, another fearful time to be a follower of Jesus. You go to the Gospel of John, and you read what Jesus has just laid on them, the heavy things that he's laid on them, and he's told those who were confused about who he was at that time. They were thinking, again, here, this is going to be our earthly deliverer. This is going to be the one that's going to be the rightful king that's going to rule over the physical nation of Israel. And he turns all of that upside down, and he says, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to depart. You're going to be as sheep amongst wolves and all of that. They were scared. John chapter 16, he says this, and we'll leave with this verse here this morning. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you," John 16 and verse 33, "that ye might have peace." What? All of this is supposed to give me peace and comfort? Yes. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Why do people disappoint us? Why do we have conflict? Why do we have difficulties? Why isn't it just smooth sailing in this world? Why are there all these difficulties? Why is it there's every year that there seems to be some great threat to our well-being, threat to our lives, threat to our livelihoods? It's because we live in a world where Jesus said, "You shall have tribulation." As long as sin exists, tribulation is going to exist. You know, what we hope as God's people, as we encourage one another and we minister to one another, that in the midst of this tribulation, that we can see the Lord and we can have peace. But I want to tell you, under the best circumstances in this world, we will have tribulation. Contrary to what the name it and claim it and health, wealth, and prosperity false teachers of today will say, they'll say, well, if you've got everything just right in your life and you're as faithful as you ought to be, you're not going to have tribulation, you're not going to have difficulties, you're not going to have financial adversity, you're not going to have physical afflictions. No, that goes contrary. What does Jesus say? He says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But where is the truth here that we're to hang our hats on? But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer when we hear of all of these difficulties and all of these trials. Well, why are we to be of good cheer? He says, "I have overcome the world." And what a wonderful blessing that Jesus reminds us of this, that he's the overcomer. Michael has not overcome the difficulties of life. I haven't found the cure for all of the diseases and sicknesses that we struggle with. I haven't found the formula for perfect harmony in our families. You know, even in the church sense, you know, I've not found the formula for there to be perfect harmony and smooth sailing in the Lord's church. But I'm thankful He has. He says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be courageous, be strong, be not fearful, because our Lord is with us. Pray the Lord would bless us as we embrace that truth. Now I'll give the disclaimer this morning as we look for Him. That's a lot easier said than done. But I'm thankful that by God's grace, we are able to do this. I want to publish an open door of the church this morning. I'm thankful that we have a refuge from this world. Aren't you thankful that God in His love gave us a place where we can come and be comforted in the midst of the difficulties of this world? I want to publish an open door of the church this morning. If you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to take up your cross and follow after Him. Well, let's sing Amazing Grace this morning. Well,